way. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray before we get in the Word. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you. We magnify you. And we thank you and praise you. Thank you for all that you've given, all that you have done for us. Father, through your Son, Jesus, Lord, you are wonderful. Speak through me this morning that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you that bullseyes will get hit in everybody's heart here today, and we'll walk out of here changed and walk out of here better in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 35:27 is our keynote scripture. Well, one of them, there's two, but we'll start there. Don't have time for a lot of review, so we're just going to get going here. But just to kind of bring some people up to speed, we've been in a series. This will be our fifth week on the series. And the Bible says in Psalm 35:27, it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let the Lord say unto them continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure." Pleasure is a good word. Amen. "In what? The prosperity of his servant." Well, you're his child. That was written to the servants. You're his child. How much more his children, right? God wants you to prosper in every area. And when this series came on my heart, it was months ago when I was preaching on a Wednesday night, I believe it was. It dropped in my heart like someone walked by me and threw a blanket on me. And I knew in my heart I was going to be preaching on finances. Remember, I had made the statement that there's a financial series. And basically, it was going to show you how to get the money you need on this earth. Amen. Getting the money you need on this earth. Now, again, keeping it in context with the coming of Jesus and through the prism of his word, right? Not only does he want us supplied for ourselves, but he wants us supplied so we can be a blessing to the kingdom, right? Amen. Amen. And so getting the money that you need for that, it's not a hard thing. When you do it his way, it's an easy way. Praise God. It's not hard when you are doing it. Life's hard when you do it your own way. It's not hard when you do it his way. And you might think, well, it's difficult. It's been difficult getting the money that I need. That's because you haven't done it his way. His way is light and his way is easy. And so we're showing you how to do it his way because he said that. He said he wants you to prosper. And then in Isaiah 48:17, you know, when I was teaching Caleb to swim, my six-year-old here, and he was struggling with it at first, you know, he had trouble swimming. If I were to ask him in that time, he wouldn't listen to what I said to do. I said, told him how to do it, you know, and tried to calm him down. He just kept doing it his own way. Well, if you were to ask him at that time, "Buddy is swimming hard," he'd say, "Oh, it's hard to sing. I can't do it. It's hard." But you know what? Now if you ask Caleb, "Is swimming hard?" No. I just jump in and do it. Why? He started doing it Daddy's way. Amen. Yeah, people that don't do it God's way financially, they say financial things are hard. Yeah. That's tough. I'm here to tell you, money's simple. The supply that you need, God's not withholding it from you. Didn't Psalm 84:11 in our offering say he will withhold no good thing? He's not withholding. He's not up there like this, but he can't release until people cooperate with him. And so he started doing it Daddy's way, and now you ask him, "Is swimming hard?" No, swimming's not hard at all. Swimming's not hard at all. It's rather easy. Praise God. Well, Isaiah 48:17 said, "Thus says the Lord thy God, Redeemer, Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God," notice this, "which teacheth you to profit." Well, he said, I take pleasure when you prosper. Now he says, I'm going to teach you how to do it, right? And he said, "I will lead you and guide you in the way that you should go." Praise God. So the Lord was giving me steps in my heart to show people how to get the money that they need. Now, the first Sunday we looked at this, we showed you in the Bible over and over again that God wants his children blessed. Because I grew up in a religious church, so did she, that taught you that God didn't want you to have anything, that God wanted you broke, and that until you got to heaven, it's okay to sing about heaven and think about heaven if you don't leave out the fact that he said you can have heaven on the earth. You know, some places, oh, it's just when we get to the sweet by and by. No, Jesus said we'll have the abundant life down here. We're to reign as kings down here. You know, that this is where the victory needs to be had, is down here. And so the first Sunday we looked at that, and we showed you that. Now, one thing I haven't mentioned in the series, and I just have to mention it, and you all qualify because you're here, but if you're someone that's not planted in a church, you don't qualify for prosperity. Because the Bible says, "They that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God." Jesus said, if you don't have a pastor, you're scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed in life. So if you aren't regularly getting watered, I loved it. Michelle was out watering the flowers before service, just getting things taken care of like you always do. Thank you. And why is she watering those flowers? So they'll grow. So in the summer heat, They don't get scorched and dried up. Well, that's what happens to Christians. They don't get watered by the Word of God. They're not planted where they need to be. You don't qualify for prosperity unless you're in a consistent flow of being watered. You just don't. So all these steps that I'm saying are, you know, basically on the heels of you got to be in the right place. You got to be planted in the right place. Let me just say that again. If you're not planted, you can't flourish. Everybody's life ought to be revolved around making sure I'm planted. Money doesn't come first. Location doesn't come first. Jobs and family and situation. No. Planting is the most important, or there's no flourishing. It's just the truth. That's why I say it. The center of a person's universe ought to be the local church. It doesn't have to be this local church, but a local church that's teaching the Bible. Take away the watering from those flowers, and they won't look as pretty as they do this morning. It's just the truth. Amen. And he said, I'll teach you. I'll lead you. So we saw that he said he was prosperity. Then we saw the first week going into the steps, we saw tithing. Tithing's the beginning. It opens the windows of heaven, right? And then we saw from tithing, you go into offerings. Offerings are anything above the 10%. And what? Your harvest depends on your offering, right? The Bible says that offering is like a seed. Well, what does a farmer know about a seed? A farmer has to plant seed to get a harvest. It's foolishness for a farmer to go out into a field at harvest time when he never took during seed time and never scattered the seed to go out to that field and look in that ground and say, where's my harvest? Where's my harvest? That's foolishness. The same way it's foolishness when a Christian hasn't sown seed and it's time for harvest time to meet the needs and pay the bills and the things that come up in life. Where's my harvest? Where's my harvest? Well, back in seed time, you weren't planting. Yes. See, the seeds you planted yesterday are the harvest you're walking in today, and the seeds you plant today will be the harvest you'll walk into your tomorrows. So get seed in the ground, right? Get seed in the ground, into good ground. What's good ground? Places that are doing things for God. Places that are getting people born again, filling people with the Holy Ghost, telling people the Word. Hallelujah. Your church is a good place. It just is. I'm telling you. It's a good place to sow into. Hallelujah. And, you know, so we saw that. And then last week, what did we see? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. To me, the most important message in this whole series was last week. Doesn't mean you turn off this week because you got to have all the parts. That's right. But the reason I say that is because if you're following the Holy Ghost, if you're off in one of the other areas or even an area that we didn't mention that could be hindering your prosperity, the Holy Ghost will tell you. Right? The Holy Ghost will reveal it to you and show you. So if you are missing another one, he could say, hey, you're not doing it right here. Hey, it's going wrong here. Praise God. So be led by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. God's not leading any other way than by the Holy Spirit. He's not leading by flesh, by mind. He's not leading by money. He's not leading by circumstance. He's not leading by geographical location. He leads by the Holy Ghost. And if you don't get in tune with the Spirit of God, you'll never walk into what God has for you. You want to know why? Because the way God leads you is by the Holy Ghost. And what does he lead you into? He said, I will teach you how to profit. I'll lead you in the way you should go. So if you could say to yourself, you know what, this Holy Ghost business, then you're going to say, I'm not into the prospering business either, because you can't fully prosper unless you're led by the Spirit of God. That's how he does things nowadays. And most Christians, and I'll say it most, and I am confident in saying it, will never walk into the full prosperity because they're carnal. What do I mean by carnal? They make decisions based on the natural. They make decisions based on geographical location. They make decisions based on money. They make decisions based on what it feels like. They make decisions based on their mind. They completely violate the Word of God, and they completely violate what the Spirit of God is saying because of the outward and the natural. That's not how God's leading. And we saw examples of people that were led by their flesh, led by their mind, things that looked good on the surface, right? And they went with that, and they struggled. And they struggled mightily. Praise God. But that doesn't have to be us. In fact, he said, trust in me with all of your what? Heart. Not your head, not your flesh. He said, lean not on your head. Right? Your own understanding or way of thinking. He said, in all your ways acknowledge me. Do you know what he's telling you? In your finances, with your children, in your marriage, in your business, in your job, every area of your life, your investments, you name it. He said, if you'll acknowledge me and not lean on the way you think, I will direct your paths. Well, what are the paths he's directing you to? Prosperity. That's the paths of your God. He's a prosperity God. Praise his name forevermore. So tithing, giving offerings, and following the Holy Ghost, they're the starting points to walk into the money and the prosperity you need. Go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Romans 4 and verse 16. I'll tell you, we could preach on following the Holy Ghost for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because I see it all the time. You know, think about people that get involved in wrong relationships. They see someone that looks pretty. They see someone that's handsome. They see someone that treats them good at first. Well, everybody's nice at first. Everybody says the right things at first. That's just true. Well, God knows in 6 months or a year what they're going to really be like. He knows that devil that's in them. He knows that whatever's wrong on the inside. He knows what's going to happen, how it's going to turn out. Life doesn't have to be lottery. Investments. Think about investments. You don't ever have to make a wrong investment. Spirit, you do it with the Spirit of God. He'll show you that that thing's going to work or not work. You never have to buy the wrong car. That's going to break down. You never have to buy the wrong house. You never have to get involved in the wrong relationship. You don't have to do that. Now, the awesome thing is thank God for forgiveness because we all have needed it, right? I mean, I've used my own story with my flooding my truck out and how I didn't follow the Holy Ghost and it cost me. But praise God, there's repentance and he don't know I missed it and I don't know I missed it. That just came out of my mouth somehow. But I don't remember it happening. Praise God, I've been forgiven. Yeah, hallelujah. So if you've missed it, just get forgiven and get help for what you've messed up.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 4:16. Notice this. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, Jake, will you pull that up in the Amplified? That'll be a lot easier for people to understand that. This is talking about Abraham. Therefore, notice this, inheriting the promise is the outcome of what? Faith. And depends entirely on faith. Do you see that there? Now, this is talking about when Abraham was promised a son in his old age with his wife who was older. And it said that the promise came to them through the avenue or through the channel of faith. Isn't it amazing? You know, I tell my financial testimony all the time to try to build faith in people. I mean, I have all sorts of stories I could tell you of blessings and miracles and things that happened. But nothing as big as when I was $2,000 short a month, right? From paying our bills and super far into debt, and God got bailed us out and did all that good things for us. But isn't it interesting that when I went to my pastor and he told me that he was not giving me a salary to start this church, and I had quit my full-time job to stay home with my little boy because that's what the Holy Ghost told me to do and for her to keep working. So I was staying home with Caleb full-time, then I'd do the church stuff in the evening, and then I would sleep, right? Well, during that time, isn't it interesting? $2,000 short when I quit my job at the leading of the Holy Ghost. I was tithing. I was giving offerings at that time. And I was following the Holy Ghost. How do I know? Because I left my job, which was following the Holy Ghost. I stayed home with him, which was following the Holy Ghost. And I didn't get a third shift job, which was following the Holy Ghost. So I did all first three steps, and yet I was $2,000 short. I needed faith to go with those steps. See, you have to understand that not one of these is the Band-Aid or the fix-all for all of them. You know how they say duct tape? One of these aren't duct tape. You can't just throw one of these on and hope to fill in the holes of all these other ones. And again, remember, if the thought comes, well, my God, that seems like a lot to do. No. Driving seemed like a lot to do and to grasp when you first sat in a car and saw all the buttons and saw all the numbers and saw the mirrors and saw the speed and all these things you had to think about, right? Well, you still think about those things. You just don't even consciously think about them. You're still checking your mirrors. You're still checking your speed. You're still making sure you're between the lines. You're still making sure your turns don't go into the other lane. But not like you did when you first got in the car. Remember that first time you turned? I mean, it was so choppy and bumpy and you're checking and you're nervous. Right? It's just like the first time I shot my bow, right? To get a good shot with a bow, you got to hold it in the same spot every time. You got to anchor in the same spot. Hold your arm, the grip, everything. Well, when I first shot a bow, I thought, I'll never be good at this. There's too much to remember. But then as I got acquainted with it and kept doing it, now I just pick that bow up. Boom. I'm still doing the same thing. Still anchoring the same place. Still doing the same thing with my trigger finger. Still doing the same thing with my arm. Same thing with my grip. Same thing with my stance. Same thing with my breathing. But I'm not thinking about it. It's the same with God's ways. When you get acquainted with God's ways, it's just a lifestyle. It's a flow. Don't let the devil tell you you can't do this. You can do this. You know how I know? Because God made it simple for a dummy like me. And I'm telling you the truth. I don't have any high natural education. And, you know, I don't have much natural wisdom to offer people. So he made it simple for me to grasp. But I'll tell you what, through him, I can do a lot. And so can you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's interesting there. I was tithing, giving offerings, and following the Holy Ghost, yet there I was, $2,000 short every month. Tithing, following the Holy Ghost, and giving offerings would not have saved my skin during that time. Faith did. My pastor basically stood at the deep end of a swimming pool with somebody that didn't know how to swim and threw him in and said, get out. And I'm thankful he did. That seems cruel, but he told me, he said, this will be the best thing for you. I didn't know it at the time, but people ask me now, are you glad he did that? I said, I'm so thankful he didn't give me any money. Because I learned faith in those 2 years like I'd never learned it before. I was forced to. You're either going to sink or you're going to get out. And I didn't have, when you had a new baby, I thought that sinking's not an option. So I got into faith, praise God, while doing the other things as well. Hallelujah. It's kind of like a vehicle, you know, you get into a vehicle and there's a lot that needs to happen for that thing to go. It's not enough just to have a key. It's not enough just to tithe. It's not enough just to stick the key in, right? It's not enough just to give offerings. It's not enough to just turn the ignition. You got to follow the Holy Ghost. It's not enough just to follow, right? You got to do all sorts of things, right? That's why we got to have all these. And the stuff that we don't talk about in this series, because we can't go over every single thing, but it's covered. It's a general covering where almost every situation will fall into that situation. Yeah. And anything that might not the Holy Ghost will trust will lead us to show us those things. Hallelujah. So he said, it's a faith. And see, we're called to live by faith, right? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. But here's the thing, that there are going to be situations and circumstances and tests and trials that rise up in your life that are going to require the use of faith. Amen? There's just situations like that situation that rose up that the only thing that's going to break that thing down is faith. So it's simply as I can. You'll never, ever walk into the prosperity God has for you if you're not a faith person. Amen. So let's look at being a faith person today. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Got to be a faith person. Got to be a faith person. At the end of the service, we're going to look at a snapshot or a photo album of your life. We're going to look at a photo album of your life individually. Now, we're going to call anybody up here, do anything weird like that. But you're going to examine and look through the photo album of your life. What's my life look like right now? And see if you could shut that book and say, that person that I saw in that photo album, that's a faith person. We'll find out. We'll find out. Praise God. Do y'all like that special song? Isn't that just a beautiful song, thinking about Jesus and what he's got for us? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:12 says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. You can't get to the promises unless you go first through faith. Hallelujah. 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. I think people sometimes think this faith message is optional. Take it or leave it. Nope, it's not optional. Well, it is if you don't want to be prosperous. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Does that sound good to anybody? Yeah. Overcoming the world. What's the world have? The world has things that heaven doesn't. Depression, anxiety, fear, addictions, poverty, sickness. Well, how do we overcome the world? Our faith. Our faith, not pastor's faith, not so-and-so's faith, your own faith. Whether or not you're overcoming or not is up to you. Praise God. I love the faith message. Why? It's my part. Faith is my part. Don't you always just, I just want to know my part in life. There's so much other going on. Just tell me my part so I can do my part and do it well. Praise God. Amen. Well, you must be a faith person to prosper. Go back to Romans 4 and verse 16. We're going to look at what faith looks like. And I'm going to read down through verse 21. And this is talking about Abraham receiving that blessing of Isaac when he was an old man. Romans 4 and verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but also that which is of faith, which is us of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, He called Abraham a dad when he wasn't, right? He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which in the Hebrew means father of many nations. Before he ever had a son, Isaac, he said, "You're a daddy." That's how God does things. It's called spiritual CPR. It's called speaking life into the dead things. Your finances ever been dead? Your situation, job situation look like it's... You speak life into it. How? By calling it the way you want it. Stop talking all the time about what you have and what's going on and how bad and how big the devil is. My goodness, we give the devil such an encouraging pep talk sometimes. Just rambling on and on about how good he's doing in our life, destroying things. Well, start talking the way you want it. That's how God does things. Well, it goes on to say in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Now, this is where we're going to start to get some characteristics of this faith, and we'll go back through them. Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And we know the end of the story. He got his boy. So let's go back to verse 18 now. So you need to be a faith person in order to receive what God has for you. So let's find out what a faith person looks like. In verse 18, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Well, what gave Abraham the ability to be able to believe something that crazy? According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. So Abraham took God at his word. Hallelujah. Faith is simply taking God at his word, regardless of any circumstance, situation, feeling, or thought. Taking God at his word. Nothing frustrates me more as a dad. I'll use an example. The pool one's such a good example because it's brought out so many illustrations and examples. Well, Abby sees what Caleb's doing, and Caleb's having a great time, and Abby has fun too, but she's still got her floaties on. And if you still have your floaties on, that's okay. You'll come to a day when you get your floaties on. But she still has her floaties on, and it keeps her from being able to swim to the bottom like he does. And, you know, I'll throw things in for him, and he can retrieve it, or just swimming around with his goggles on. So she sees that and wants to do that. And so I'm trying to teach her, but she just grabs that railing. I say, baby, take your floaties off. It'll be okay. I'm not going to let you sink. No, no, no. And nothing frustrates me more when my children don't listen to me, when they don't believe me, when they don't take me at my word. And again, I know she's little. I get it. I understand all that. But still, I've never let her down. I've never failed her. I'm the one that's there for her all the time. And it bothers me, not out of anger towards her, but it bothers me. Why won't you trust me? What on earth have I ever done to make you not take those off and jump in my arms and let me put my hands under your belly and let you kick around the pool a little bit? Why won't you do that? And that's what Christians do to God all the time. He tells them things in his word and they don't do the word. Listen, you can't be a faith person unless you're living by the word of God. You can't. Because if you're not at least doing the word, see, doing the word is showing God, I trust you. That's like Abraham in Genesis 12. God said, get up and go. Say what? Where? When? What's going to happen when I go? Didn't ask all those questions. God said, go. See what he did? He started to go. He started to go. That was a man of faith. He took God at his word. He didn't say, but Lord, what about this? But Lord, what about that? But Lord, the money's not there. But Lord, everything's not lined up for me. Didn't matter. He knew enough to know that my God is good and that my God is wonderful. And if he tells me to go, must be where the going is better. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. You know, some people will say, and I'll just tell you, you're not a faith person. Some people will say, if you say this, well, I'll obey God when. Oh, I'm gonna obey his word when the money's there, or when the situation's easier, or when I'm more comfortable. I'm gonna work up to doing it. So basically you're saying, I'm gonna wallow around in disbelief and disobedience until I just work up the nerve to, oh no, no, that's open door to the enemy. Yeah. You don't see God compromising on his word. He told the children of Israel, go take that land. They said, oh, but Lord, it's tough. It's big and there's people there and there's cities and walls. And God didn't say, oh, it's okay, let's work up to this. God said, okay, you don't want to believe me? Have fun wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened. You don't see, you see God using Abraham mightily. Why? God said, jump. And Abraham said, how high? God said, take that son that you love and take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him for me. Abraham said, okay, that's what you said, Lord. Now, God's intention was never to kill that boy, but it just shows the trust. Yeah, if you can't be a simple doer of the word, you're not a faith person. Oh, I'll do it when it's simple, when it's convenient. Listen, the word of God is not always going to be convenient. Get that through your head. It's not always going to be a gooey, ooey, nice honey feeling inside you to do it. Sometimes the walking out of the word can really rattle our minds, can really rattle our flesh, but it's the best thing for you. People make decisions all the time apart from the Bible. People live apart from the word of God all the time. Why? They're not faith people. You can't be a faith person because all faith is agreeing with what God has said. It's just the truth. Just the truth. The word says one thing, people do another. Excuse, excuse, excuse. Well, you can be that way, but you're not a faith person. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, you're being mean to us. No, I love you so much to tell you the truth. Love you so much to tell you. Because you know what? The Bible says the victory is that overcomes the world's faith. You know what the devil's not going to do? And his, you know the worst and the most sickening and things that you don't even want to mention out loud? He's behind all those things. We sometimes think, oh, he's just this cute little character with this these pointy ears and this pitchfork. He just runs around and makes us stub our toes and have our... No, 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 no. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to ruin. He loves to see you miserable. He loves to see you sad. He loves to see you depressed. He loves to see you hurting. He wants you to have nothing good. And you know what? The one thing that keeps him out, the Bible says, is the shield of faith. He's not sitting on the sidelines going, you know what? They're a little bit new at this. And, you know, life's a little hard. And that's why they're not obeying God. And that's why they're kind of doing it their own way. I'm going to wait and give them a chance. No, he's going to say, pounce, pounce, pounce. Absolutely. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you got to be a believer of God's word. People say, I'm in faith. I'm in faith. I'm in faith. No, you're not. You're in fear. You're in doubt if you're not trusting God's word. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. What else in the natural would you consider when you're going to have a baby? Bodies. Health. Right? The reproductive system. Health on the male. Health on the female. And he said, I'm 100 years old. And whether or not I have a child has nothing to do with my body. That's faith. That's faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. The natural cannot dictate your believing. And let me tell you why. If the natural was all lined up to be good, you would need no faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is faith for? To turn the bad in the natural around. So if you're for example struggling financially, and there's not enough coming in, but there's way more that needs to go out, but there's not enough coming in, and you get your faith and you say, I can't do that. There's not going to be enough. We're not going to be able to pay that. You're saying that your natural circumstance trumps what God's word has said about your financial circumstance. And when Abraham, notice what the Bible says, not weak in faith. You know what weak faith people are? They look at the natural and they say, oh, the natural determines whether I can prosper. The doctor's report determines whether I can be healthy. Things at my job and things on the news and things in the natural determine. No. Faith people, there's only one thing that moves a faith person. Not the natural, not the dollars, not the doctor's reports, not the thoughts, not the pressure. The only thing that moves a faith person is the word of God. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I think. I'm only moved by what I believe, which is the word of God. Yeah. You got to get to the point and realize things aren't right. That's what I need my faith for. And putting more faith, again, what is faith? Just agreeing with God. Putting more faith in what he says in the word rather than your situation and circumstance. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. What was the promise of God? You're going to have a child. Didn't say, he said, he didn't, he staggered not at the promise. Now, this is talking when he got to the place of finally believing, when he received it. Because he staggered in the beginning, didn't he? They laughed at God. They went out and did it their own way because they didn't trust God. But he got to a place where he was steady and firm in his faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Go with me to James 1 and verse 6. And then we'll go back. James 1 and verse 6. So he believed God's word. He believed God's word over what he saw in the natural. And then in the time from when he got in belief until when it happened, he didn't waver. Remember Hebrews 6:12 said that they received the promises through faith, and what goes with faith? Patience. See, because if I look on my online banking and I see what I have in my account, and then I look at my bills and I see, Houston, we have a problem. This isn't matching up. What I have is not going to pay what needs to be paid. And I find out, yeah, God said I could be prosperous. God said he'll meet my needs. So I release my faith for that. Well, when I release my faith for that and I log in with my password and my username, nothing's changed on there. I might wake up in the next morning, no extra money's come in. When you release your faith, there's a space in time where patience, and that's where the victory is won and lost. Everybody in here, I don't care what your health is, your limit, your heart rate, your cholesterol, whatever, everybody in here, we can go start a marathon right after church. But I'll bet you what, not everybody in here can finish one. Anybody can get excited about their needs being met, release their faith. But what happens the next day when you wake up and there's no money there? What happens the next week when you wake up and the doctor's report hasn't changed? What happens when God said, Abraham, you're going to be a daddy, and he has another birthday, and he gets grayer and more wrinkly, and his wife's not looking like she did when they first met? Right? What happens? Where are you then, Abraham? Are you like, oh, no, because the Bible already said he wasn't weak in faith considering his own body. He didn't waver. He didn't all of a sudden say, oh, another year, another candle on the cake. There's no baby coming. No, he said, God said, I'm going to have. That's all I need to know. Yeah, well, you release your faith and your money starts going down, 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 down. What do you say? Oh, this isn't working. No, he said, all I need to know is what God said. Doesn't matter what's happening in the natural. Right. Oh, I'm getting sicker and sicker. Doesn't matter what happens in the natural. Yeah. It matters what God has said. Yeah. You can't waver. James chapter 1, Jake, in verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That means when you ask in faith, when you need money, say, Father, I thank you that all the money I need, it comes in Jesus' name. That means when you wake up the next morning and your money hasn't changed and the bills still need to be paid, and a week goes by and a month goes by and nothing's changed, and whatever you're believing God for, you don't back off of that same vigor and fire that you had the day you released that faith. You keep that thing going. Away versus, oh, it's been a month, I guess this doesn't work. Void the whole thing out. Your faith check that you just tried to cash just got voided out. Praise God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man. See, people say, that faith message, Pastor, you sound bold with that. You sure sound cut and dry with that. Come on, be a little lenient. I'm not lenient on it because the Bible's not. The Bible says the person that wavers. And you might say, but you don't understand my situation. It doesn't matter. He says you can't waver if you want to receive. You can sit there all day long and tell us and give us a sob story about your situation and how you're waiting to obey God until this. You can do that, but you're not getting anywhere with God. Because he said you won't receive anything wavering. You won't receive a single blessed thing from him until you're in faith. Yeah. Praise God. Better be faith, people. In verse 21 of Romans chapter 4, and then we're going to get into the photo album. Aren't you excited? Amen. Isn't that fun going back and looking at photos and seeing ourselves? And so what in the world was I wearing that for? I have to do my hair like that. I don't know. Romans 4 and verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he or God had promised, he was able to perform. Faith is fully persuaded. And I'm going to show you the litmus test that I always use to let you know, to find out if you're fully persuaded or not. Now, you have to understand there's a difference between heart faith and head faith. You could be believing God for something and your head is telling you, no, that can't happen. Let your head talk all it wants to. But But your heart needs to be solidified and believe in the Word of God. How do you know if you're fully persuaded? Well, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, think about a situation in your life you're believing God for. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a family. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's whatever. And God has promised you all these prosperity things that you can have. And you say, I'm in faith and believing. Well, let's find out if you're in faith and believing, because God gave me this litmus test one day, and I'm going to show you. Now, if I say to you, you've seen this before, some of you, if I say to you, I'm going to open my hand, stand here, nobody's going to move, I'm going to open my hand and drop this water bottle, how many of you would say, Pastor, I know without a shadow of a doubt that bottle's going to hit the ground? Right. All of us, yeah. Right? I mean, everybody would. Sure. So let's see if that just happens. It did, you're right, 100% correct. So now let me ask you, as much faith as you have that when I release this bottle, it's going to hit the ground, you know without a shadow of a doubt, are you that way concerning that thing you're in faith for? Are you absolutely convinced as much as that bottle hit the floor that your money's coming, that your job's coming, that your baby's coming, that your relationship's coming, that your favor's coming? Are you? I don't know. Are you? If you're not, then you're not fully persuaded. And I'll show you how to get there at the end. I'm not going to leave you hanging. But because I'll tell you, when I go to release this, I'm not even questioning. Is it going to hover? Is it going to stop? Is it going to disappear? No, I know. That's hitting the ground. Don't even have to. That's faith. That's called faith. And Abraham got to the place where he said, I know I'm having a baby. I don't give a rip how old I get. I don't care what the neighbors say. I don't care what Wikipedia says. I don't care what the medical community says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm persuaded that what God has said will come to pass. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to open up your personal photo album? Amen. Let's examine your life now. And if we were to look in to snapshots of your life, could we say, you're a faith person? Can you look through it and say, I'm a faith person? Well, let's find out. We're going to find out right now. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and it waves and beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said unto him, Master, do you care not that we're perishing or dying? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now you would probably think that sweet old Jesus, when his boys that left everything to follow him and to serve him, you'd think that sweet old Jesus would come to comfort them and say, boys, I get it. You're professional fishermen. You of anybody would know when the waves are so serious that you think you're going to die. Boys, I'm so sorry. I'm the one that said, let's go to the other side. Come here, guys. Cuddle up. Let's huddle around and let me just pet you. Let me just pet you and tell you it's going to be okay. You would think that that's what sweet little Jesus would do, but your sweet little Jesus is a faith man, and faith doesn't do that type of stuff. Jesus in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40 said, and he said unto them, what is your problem? Why are you afraid? And again, what would their natural response be? What do you mean, why am I afraid? That's what offended people do. What do you mean? Of course I'm worried. How could you expect me not to be? Of course I can't obey God. Have you seen what my money looks like? Of course I can't do that. There's unknown, and there's stop, 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 stop. Jesus didn't leave them any room for any excuses. He said, why are you afraid? Why are you worried? You see that? He says, how is it that you have no faith? Worry and faith do not get along well. One drives the other out. The presence of worry drives faith out. The presence of faith drives worry out. So let's look in your album. Are you a worrier? If you are, you're not a faith person.
Yeah, that's good.
You say, but Pastor, stop with the but. Stop. But Pastor, you don't know my life. Stop. They were about to die, and Jesus, I don't give a rip. What's wrong with you? You have the wrong response. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. That's what the word says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, take no thought or be not worried for your life. If you're worried, faith isn't around. So if we looked at the photo album of you, would we see a life of worry? Do we see a life of, oh, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh, this is never going to work out. How am I going to pay this? Oh, there's no faith there. The absence of faith is the presence of the enemy. No, that was a good photo album to look at. Those good pictures. Y'all look good in those pictures. Mark 11:23. Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll find it. It's the people that will get sick and tired of being sick and tired in their life. Amen. That will rise up and say, I'm tired of doing it my own way. I'm tired of things being mediocre. I'm tired of things being average. Well, throw all that stuff away and start doing it God's way. Don't wait to obey God to when the money's there. Don't wait to obey God to when it's comfortable. Don't wait to obey God to when it seems easy. Just stop going and spinning the circles and the tires and getting the rut deeper and deeper and deeper. Just bust out of that thing and obey God. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Faith sounds like something. Amen. Faith is always in two places, right? Yep. The spirit of faith. Therefore we believe, so we've spoken. If we look at your photo album, maybe we'd have to pull up a camcorder of old video of you and follow you around. What's coming out of your mouth? How are you talking? Is it, I don't understand. Why me? I'll never. We're in trouble now. Faith doesn't talk like that. What are you saying over things? I'm just putting it out there. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Whatever's in here is going to spill out of here. Well, faith is of the heart. If you have worry, doubt, and unbelief, and that's what you're believing, and frustration, and grumbling, and griping, and groaning, and complaining, that's what's surely going to come out of you. Right. Whatever overflows in here is going to spill out of here. Yeah. So, and I'll tell you what, you can locate a person in a five-minute conversation. Yeah, I mean, it's true. I'm asking people come in, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Oh, I know it's in your heart. But, Pastor, stop with the buts. Oh, that's not real popular in here, is it, this morning? Stop with the buts. Because you like to grab onto your situations and circumstances and blow them up so big as if it's bigger and more test and trial than your God can handle. And we like to hold on to those things. Stop. Those things are the things that are hurting you. Someone needs to get bold and shake you and tell you that's the wrong way. This is the wrong way. Praise God. So what are you talking? How are you talking? What's coming out of your mouth? Right? You know what I love about my pastor? He'll say to me, he'll hit me on my leg when I get with him. He'll hit me on the leg and say, how's your marriage doing? It's great as far as I know. And he'll say, if I call your wife, will she say the same thing? I said, I don't know. Let's try. Give her a call. Right? But I'm wondering, what if we talk to your spouse? What if we talk to your kids? What if we talk to your employers? What if we talk to your pillow or your walls or the flies on the walls? What would they say about you? Could we look and say, oh, they're faith, man. They talk it. They speak it. When things come, they just talking. I don't know. You would only know that. But if you're going to be a faith person, you're going to be speaking faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was alone with that little baby boy in the middle of the night feeding that plumpy little chunky face thing. I mean, look what he turned into. He's so cute, you know. And he just looked like a mini sumo. I'm not kidding. That's what he looked like. And he's... In fact, I always say this. Maybe people say, that's mean, you shouldn't say that, but I'm just telling you the truth. She pushed for 2 hours. He was stuck in the birth canal, and when you're stuck in the birth canal, that tight little place, I'll tell you what, come out looking weird. He came out. I said, I don't want that one. Put him back. Put him back in. You don't remember that, though, do you? No, he was all sorts of different colors and contorted. I'll take a different one. But I'm glad I got him. Praise God. Hallelujah. But as I fed him in private, I wasn't sitting there whining and complaining. Oh, I'm here. I am pastoring a church. Doesn't Pastor Michael understand? I'm doing this for people, giving my life, and I can't even pay my bills. No, I'm holding that child in private, speaking faith. Why? Because that's what faith people do. Lord, I thank you. All the money will be there. Promotion's coming. Favors coming. Benefits are coming for me. Supernatural debt payoff's coming for me. See, when you start speaking wrong, you're voiding all the other faith confessions that you had. Praise God. James 1 and verse 2. Couple more photos. James 1 and verse 2. We're talking, what are you doing now? You should be checking up on yourself. Because you have to be a faith person. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. You know what joy looks like? I've been at Ralph Wilson Stadium, back used to be Rich Stadium, back in the glory days of the Buffalo Bills. Back in the early 90s, you know, really they started in 1988 when they started getting real good, and then in the early 90s. And they went to all the Super Bowls, and I was at every playoff game. I was at every, except for the road ones, I was at every AFC championship game. When they beat Denver to go to the Super Bowl, when they beat the Raiders 51-3, I was there. I saw what joy on people's faces was. It was shouting and happiness and laughing and tears of joy, high fives and hugs and jumping and running around. I saw it on the field and I saw it in the stands. The Bible says, count it joy. This is going to be so backwards to your mind, but this is the way God does things. Count it joy. Count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various tests and trials. If we were to look into your photo album and the times when you're going through hell on earth, when the money's not there, when it doesn't seem to be working, when it seems like you've come up against a brick wall, what are you doing? Is your grin turning into a sad face? Is your shouting turning into grumbling? Are you becoming short with people? I've already got you beat there. Short with people? You missed that one. That went right over Jim's head, but that's not surprising. Most things do. I tried to make fun of myself, and no one caught it. So I said, oh, turn it on him. Praise God. Right? But what do you turn into? Are you a grumbler? Or when it hits the fan, are you, woo, glory to God, God's bigger, God's better, it's going to turn around, it's going to work for my favor, the money will be there, the devil's getting double for his trouble.
Yeah, that's so good.
A faith person doesn't just rejoice and act happy when things are going good. A faith person acts that way all the time. All the time. Sorry, Jim. You forgive me. Oh, no, you won't. You're not going to get your pastor even. That's not nice. Praise the Lord. Mary Jo, you take care of him after service. They're always after each other. Praise God. A faith person doesn't rejoice when things are going good. And last but not least, go to Philippians. You know, the one thing that is bad about me getting Jim in public is that it makes me look like a big meanie, but you don't understand the things he says to me in private. So you don't feel bad for him. Some of the things he thinks, are probably way worse than what he says. So don't feel bad for him. Praise the Lord, he has it coming to him. Philippians chapter 2. But I do love you a lot. Philippians chapter 2. Oh, forgive me, Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to 3. Because that's where it's at. It's 3. Not because we just changed our mind, because that's where it's at. Verse 12. Not that I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that means mature in the faith, be thus minded. What minded? A forgetter of the past and a pressing forward into the future. That's what a mature faith person does. They don't live in the past. I was walking my dogs today, and I have one, she's going to be 11 at the end of this month, and I have one that just turned 2, and Willow's the little black lab that is 2, and she's always out in front on the walks. And Wrigley is my 11-year-old lab, and she's always dragging behind. And so it's constantly I'm getting yanked this way and yanked this way. It's especially going up hills. It's pretty much I'm dragging her up the hill, and I try to keep her active, keep her healthy, and she enjoys going on those walks. But it's an awkward. I can't get to my destination as quick as I can because of that dog. I can't. I mean, she weighs 60 pounds. I'm not Vinny. I'm not Hulk Hogan here and can just keep going my same speed. She pulls me back, and I'm like, wow, this is interesting, and that's the way most Christians are in life. Bible says press forward, but you're still holding on to the past, and it's this constant tug of war. And the Bible says mature people say the past doesn't exist anymore. Let me say that again. In God, the past doesn't exist.
Hallelujah.
And you say, that's all your excuses that you come up with. Well, no, it doesn't exist. in God. Get rid of it. It's holding you back. Paul said, I forget and I press forward. Notice he said, I press. That means there's going to be opposition. He says, I reach for it. It's not going to be the easiest thing at times, but faith people don't dwell in the past. Don't sit there and keep beating yourself up about what you did in that marriage, what you did with your kids, what you did with your finances. Stop it. Stop it. It's gone. It doesn't exist. You're wasting your time. You're here now. Charge forward with faith and a full head of steam of faith and, you know, just praise and excitement with God. Amen? Well, we were blessed today. Are you a faith person? I don't know. You'll have to examine that, but you'll never walk into the prosperity that you have unless you are. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word this morning. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. Before we pray, look up here because I did say this. The remedy to your faith is the word. It's important that you know that. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. Isn't it amazing how much the word fixes so many things? If you can say, Pastor, I'm not there. You need more word in your life. More word. If you have trouble forgetting the past, you need more word. If you have trouble rejoicing when things go wrong, you need more word. If you have trouble believing the word of God over what the circumstances say and you believe in the natural, you just need more Bible. That's how faith comes. Amen. That's your remedy. So let's pray now. Father, thank you for reminding me to bring that up. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you for all that you have given us, all that you've provided for us, the opportunities that are out in front of us, Lord. If we'll just do things your way, Father, just follow the Holy Ghost, do what the Word says, live by faith, hallelujah, victory would be ours. But Father, I'm quite certain that in this series, things have been uncovered. Things have been pointed out with a microscope in people's lives of areas where it might not be hitting the mark. Well, that's what your word does. Your word gets into cracks and brings things to the surface, not to make fun of us or to make us feel bad or to laugh at us, but to help us so we can fix it, so we can make adjustments. So, Father, you know, even as I say that, Lord, it's when it comes to a vehicle, Father, this is the picture Jesus just gave. You can keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. One of the frustrating things of when something goes wrong in a vehicle is when they can't pinpoint the problem. It's a blessing when that computer shows, hey, you have a problem in your carburetor. Hey, you have a problem in your engine. Hey, it's your transmission. That's a blessing when it gets brought to the surface. The mechanic doesn't say, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have known that. No, the mechanic says, okay, now I know what to attack. So when God brings these things forward in this series, it's not to attack you. It's to bring it forward so you can get it fixed and attack the problem. Amen? Amen. Thank you for helping us, Father. Just thank him this morning. We need to thank him and be grateful for what he's given us. He's trying to take us to a different level. He's trying to take us to a higher place personally and in this church. If we do it his way, it'll be all right. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and keep their eyes closed, ask yourself this question today. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that. Because when I ask myself that, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And you say, Pastor, how could you be so sure about something like that? Because the Bible says, if I call on the name of the Lord, I'll be saved. You say, I didn't go to church enough, or I haven't been that good of a person. That stuff doesn't get you into heaven. Believing on Jesus is what gets you into heaven. He's so merciful and so kind and so good. So if you're here and you can say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I want to. Well, all you have to do is ask yourself, do I believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, if you believe he died and rose again, guess what? You're qualified. You're a candidate for salvation. The last thing you have to do is call on his name. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or stand up or say anything. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you can say, I want to receive Jesus. Now, if you've already raised your hand, you don't need to do it again. I don't care if you had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. If you've already asked him into your heart, he's not leaving you. Just repent for the things you've done wrong. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, I want to accept Jesus for the very first time in my life. I've never done it before. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in there? Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus this morning that you never have? You don't have to be a member of this church or jump through any religious hoops. Just believe on Jesus. Anybody at all before I close. Father, I don't see any hands in the building, but maybe somebody was shy or maybe somebody listening over the internet right now or in the future needs you. And I want to encourage you, if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, it's simple. All you have to do is say, Lord, I do believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. And if you'll pray that, get a hold of us. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church and get you on the road to victory. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody have a wonderful rest of this holiday weekend, and we'll see y'all Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.